morning. Oh, come on, come on. Good morning. Are we excited about Jesus this morning? Can we stand? And before we do anything else, before we sing any song, before we say any word, can we just give our amazing God a round of applause? Not for something grand, not for something small, but just because we have the ability of our limbs, just because our eyes are open, just because there's breath in our body, that is more than enough reason for us to give God praise. Does anybody believe that this morning? Amen. So listen, this song, before we get started, for those of you who are visiting for the first time, for those of you watching online, good morning. Welcome to the Carpenter Shop. We are so happy and so honored that you guys decided to worship with us this morning. We believe that God is going to do something absolutely incredible, absolutely phenomenal, that's going to change our lives. Amen. So listen, the song we're about to do is called Gratitude. And, you know, the beautiful thing about our relationship with God is as it grows, we are able to see where He's brought us from. And the reason why that's so important, the reason why that has such significance, is because when you really think about that place that you were once in, that you felt like you would never come out of, that darkness that you thought you would never escape, and to see where the Lord has brought you now, and to be able to look back and say you remember that person, I think that's enough to be grateful for. So God, I'm grateful that you didn't leave me alone like you said you would. I'm grateful that you kept me. I'm grateful. So this song just says that we'll throw up our hands, we'll worship our Father, just because we're grateful. And I encourage you this morning that if that's you, to lift your hands, to worship the Father, just for who He is. Thank you, Lord.
Don't you get shy.
I'm your son. Cause you got a lion inside of those bones. Get up and praise the Lord. So come on, man. That hallelujah is the highest praise. It is the highest thing that we can offer our King. And I love that part that says, I know it's not much, but I have nothing else fit for a King. Because here's what the Father loves. The Father loves the little that you give. He loves the broken that you give. He loves the imperfect that you give. It is more than enough to Him. Imagine your Father watching you tell Him how much you love Him, how much you adore Him. That's what our Father sees when He sees us worshiping. That's what our Father sees when He sees us with hands lifted. That's what our Father hears when He hears us say how much we love Him. And the part about, come on my soul, because sometimes, let's be honest, we don't feel like it. I'll be completely honest with you guys. There have been several Sundays where I will walk into a church and I'm just like, Lord, I'm here. Because I'm just here. But can I give you good news in that? He honors your honesty. And our spirit compensates for when our emotions don't feel like it. So even when I don't feel like it, God, I'm still going to throw up my hands. not because it's what I'm used to, not because it's practice, but because you're still deserving of it despite what I feel. Because he deserves it. And I know it's not much.
And I know it's not much. A good God. It doesn't matter the season. It can be a good season, a bad season. He will always be there. So God, I thank you for being so faithful and so good to us.
Of the good. Are you thankful for the goodness of Jesus this morning? Come on, let's give him a hand of praise. Come on, let's lift up a shout of praise to the King, to the one who's worthy of all that we can give. His goodness runs after us. His goodness is running after us. There's nobody who can chase us down the way that he does. The one who leaves the 99 and comes after the one. Come on, give him praise in this place. His goodness is infinite. It never runs out. It never runs dry. Come on, sing it again. Your goodness is running after me. Sing it out. God, we thank you so much for allowing us to gather in your presence and to worship you, to know your name, the name that is above every other name. We give you glory and honor and praise in this place. Father, we thank you for what you're going to do in this service, and we thank you for what you've already done. Lord, we surrender ourselves before you. We say, come and have your way among us, Father. We come hungry and expectant today. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Give God one more big hand of praise. You can be seated. Thank you so much for coming out to Carpenter Shop International Church today. We're glad you're here. If this is your first time with us, please visit us at the Welcome Center in the foyer after the service so that we can give you a gift and a personal welcome to our church. At this time, we're going to continue to worship the Lord with our tithes and our offerings. There are several ways to give. You can do so on our My Church app. All the information is on our screen. You can do so on our website or by text. If you're giving by cash or check, we invite you to make your way forward at this time to drop your offering in the buckets. And please include your email on the memo line so that we can give you a giving receipt. And we have a special video that we're going to show for you right now.
Five, four, three, two, one.
Fuzzy command to internal.
Engines off. Opening main door.
Thank you. We're so excited for an Out of This World VBS this summer. That is coming July the 10th through the 14th. So it's coming quickly, and we could use your help in several different ways. For one, there's a table out in the foyer that has some rockets on the wall and also on the table. If you want to help us make our Vacation Bible School a success, you can grab one of these rockets and bring the item back either Wednesday or next Sunday. If by some chance you go and there's no rockets left, something that we need a ton of is Kool-Aid jammers. They're little pouches of juice, and we use them for our kids. It's so much easier for cleanup. You know, Vacation Bible School is our favorite time of the year, and it's such a great opportunity. I would estimate that at least 60% of the kids are not our church kids. A lot of them are not anybody's church kids. But as a matter of fact, we gained some kids last year from Vacation Bible School that are still coming on Wednesday nights. And a few months after Vacation Bible School, one of the girls said, "I just love it here. I feel joy here. I feel happiness here." And if you can have the opportunity to even touch two kids in that kind of way, that is a lasting impact, that not only have they heard about Jesus for a week of Vacation Bible School, but they've been hearing about Jesus every Wednesday night ever since then. That is an amazing opportunity in my eyes, and we're so thankful for you guys always willing to take on this with us. We had around 80 kids, 85 kids last year, and we're always looking for more, so we're excited. Also, we need more volunteers. If you can give one night or five nights, there's also a sign-up sheet on that same table. It's the table with the silver tablecloth on it. If you could put your name and your phone number, maybe you can just say, "Hey, I can only help one night." We can use you however many nights that you can help. And maybe you're not available that week, but you can help us set up. We start set up next Sunday, and we will set up every day for the week before this church will be transformed. If you can also put your name on that sheet, and you can just write "set up" beside it, maybe you would prefer to help in that capacity. Don't worry if you don't work with kids. No kids experience required. We have a meeting. We train you how everything works. And it's just really a fun, a little bit tiring, but amazing fun week that has really lasting kingdom impact. So we're so excited about that. So if you can grab a rocket, bring it this Wednesday or next Sunday, sign up to be a volunteer in any capacity, and we're so thankful for what's coming up July 10th through the 14th. Sign up will open up this week for registration. If you have kids, take a look on Facebook, and you'll be able to scan a QR code and register your kids. Thank you.
I surrender.
Can we stand? Can we stand all over this room? And can we just lift our hands as a sign of surrenderance? And here's the thing. I want you to not just lift your hands as a sign of surrenderance, but in your palms, I want you to feel every weight that you may have walked in with this morning, every weight that you may have been carrying that you haven't been telling anybody yet about or anything about. We lift it up to the Father right now. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we thank you that we this morning are gathered here for one purpose and one purpose only. God, our purpose is to surrender. Our purpose is to give you our worship. Our purpose is to give you our hardships. Father, thank you that as my brothers and sisters are lifting their hands, God, you are lifting weights from their lives. God, we thank you, God, that as my brothers and sisters lift their hands, that you are breaking shackles, God, not only for them, but God, who they stand in the gap for. God, I thank you for every family being represented in the name of Jesus. I thank you for every freedom that is taking place in the name of Jesus. I thank you for every marriage that's being restored in the name of Jesus. Father, not because we deserve it, not because we've done everything right, not because we've been perfect, but God, because you're good, God, because you're holy, God, because you're sovereign. Father, we thank you. God, this morning we are here for one purpose and one purpose only. God, is to surrender. So God, in the name of Jesus, we surrender. We surrender our hardships. We surrender our pride, God. We surrender to you, Jesus.
We want to know you more. We want to know you more. God, we surrender. Yeah. God, surrender. Cause we want to know you more.
We want to know you more.
That we can surrender right now, God. As your word comes forth, Lord, may we surrender our hearts. May we be tentative, God. Open our eyes, open our hearts to receive. Father, we thank you. Church, if you believe that, can you worship a God? Can you worship a God who sits high and looks low? A God who's still healing? A God who honors you? Oh, no, that's good for us, but I'm talking about the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the God Almighty, the Sovereign One, the Savior. Thank you, Jesus.
Father, we bless you today. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy in our lives, God. We thank you, Lord, that as we've assembled here, God, you desire to speak to us. I pray for the preaching of your word today, God. Father, not only in this room, but God, to the nations, would you, oh God, anoint, equip us, Lord, to rightly divide your word, Lord, to cut it straight, to proclaim the truths, Lord, of your word that sets us free. That positions us, aligns us, Lord, with our destiny, our purpose. Lord, we surrender ourselves to you today, afresh and anew. Afresh and anew. Afresh and anew, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Come on, worship him. Just worship him. We worship you, God. We worship you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We surrender, God. Thank you, Lord. Come on, position yourself. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, thank you. Hallelujah, Lord. I want to know you, Lord. I want to know you more. Hallelujah.
I want to.
praise, would you? Worship Him. You can be seated in His presence. Thank you so much for being here today. Thank you guys that are watching online today. If you would, just hit that share button down there. Come on, slam it one time. Hit that share button. We appreciate that greatly. Hallelujah. We greet you today in Jesus' name. If you're a guest today, please avail yourself to the foyer. There's a gift for you. We'd like to have a record of your visit. I see some friends today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Ken and Rebecca, so good to see you today. Praise the Lord. I guess when one of your friends texts you and says, hey, man, you preaching at Carpenter Shop on Sunday? I guess that means that's an invitation like, hey, I'm coming, okay? All right. Great to see you, man. Great friend, great intercessor. This guy right here was in high school with me. We were rascals in high school. Come on. We were rascals. There was who would have ever thought there had been a chance? Come on. And now this guy faithfully calls me. Hey, man, what you doing Tuesday morning, 7 o'clock? Can we get together for breakfast? And he'll just get together with me and listen to my heart. And we sharpen one another, and he encourages me. And then he pays for the breakfast. Come on, somebody. Woo! Come on, a couple of hen apples and some bacon. Come on, y'all. Y'all know what a hen apple is, don't you? It's an egg, all right? Plus, he's a chicken grower. I'm looking for one of these times in faith. I haven't seen it happen yet, but I'm looking for it to say, hey, before you leave, I got a box for you. And I'm figuring like maybe, you know, 40 pounds of chicken breasts or something like that. Come on, y'all. I'm just believing God. I ain't not trying to hen or anything. I'm just believing God, okay? So good to be with y'all. Come on now. Good to see the Spiveys today, Eric and Keisha. Come on, guys. Getting ready. We're going to close out today by laying hands on them and commissioning them to hit the big bird tomorrow. They jump on the plane tomorrow heading to Kenya. Come on, y'all. Heading to Kenya. Pastor Mike and the team are in Kenya. They've been there for a week. And we've seen some pictures, thanks to Crystal, keeping us up to snuff on what's going on, especially with Aiden. I hadn't seen Pastor Mike, but Aiden's all over the web. I don't know what's up with that. Well, we appreciate you keeping us informed of their safety. And today, a group from Ohio joins them, and they began in Kenya. I don't know if y'all are going to be connected or not, but I'm going to make sure Pastor Mike knows so you can. You know, it sounds like, hey, while you're in Kenya, Kenya's big, y'all. I told Pastor Joy yesterday, she said, do you think they'll be able to connect? I said, I don't know. Last time I was in Africa, you know, connecting to somebody for me meant getting on a plane and flying 3 hours, you know, because that's the connect. Like, while you're there, right? So anyway, we pray that you guys might be able to connect. And Pastor Mike and the team will be there for another week. And then you guys will be there how long? 3 weeks. Wow, you need some prayer. Amen. Because by the time you get to that second week out of the country, man, you are juice, I'm telling you. You're just gone. I mean, you know, just let me have a hamburger. Come on, somebody. I'll take pizza. I'll take anything, but get me out of this, all right? And then we have a team of about 10 guys that are preparing for Swaziland, Carpenter Shop International Church being built in Swaziland. Hey, we're building a third church, y'all. Come on, a third church. You are, amen? Swaziland. We're probably about halfway there in terms of the finances. We haven't been doing any begging and pleading. We've just been letting God do it. And we're about halfway there. Our building that we're building is a 78 feet wide, 75 feet deep. It's costing us about $17,000. And we're probably at the 10,000 mark now. So if you want to give to that, just, hey, go ahead and give. Just put Swaziland, and we're in good shape there. Other efforts are being made here in the next few weeks to allow some others in Northeast North Carolina to participate in that. And they told us at our last meeting that they had decided they were going to name this facility Carpenter Shop Church. Amen. So, amen. That's not what we were looking for, but that's an amazing thing. Pastor Noli went over there and did the groundwork. So if you blaming anybody, just blame him, okay? He goes over there, and from the field, he says to me, Pastor, this is going to be good, because he went over there and kind of served as a Joshua and a Caleb spying out the land, you know. And he says, Pastor, this is going to be good. So he's seen it. I haven't. I probably won't. But there's about 10 guys that are signed up, getting passports, ready to go, and they're going to build that building in 1 week. Amen. Come on. Going to believe God for it. Swaziland. Praise the Lord. Well, if I'm just excited about today. Come on, somebody say filled. Filled. Let's just talk about being filled today. And let's believe God for an outpouring of His Holy Spirit upon us as we proclaim the Word of God to you. We're in the Action Dynamics series. This is the third message that I brought to you from the book of Acts. In the series, we're following literally the action of Jesus that Luke has recorded. Luke is responsible for the Gospel of Luke and also the book of Acts. And he's recorded for us here what happened according to his writings in the Gospel and in the book of Acts. Jesus has been resurrected. He's resurrected from the grave. He spent 40 days with the apostles. And he's given them many, the Bible says, many convincing proofs. How many of y'all like it when somebody proves something? Come on. Convincing proofs that he is alive, okay? And then after the 40 days, you know, after the 40 days, he ascends into the heavens. He takes them out the vicinity, and next thing you know, they're looking at the heels of his feet. And then somebody comes on and says, "Hey, man, why are you standing here gazing? You heard what the man said. Get in the upper room. Come on now. Go on down there and start to pray." Some people, you know, were hesitant. We know a lot of them were hesitant because 500 heard the command. Only 120 ended up in the room. Isn't that just like church folk? Come on, I don't get it. 500 heard it, 120 came, all right? But this is what it says here. Luke chapter 1, verse 3. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. As I told you Wednesday night, I'm kind of loving that translation. I'm almost shifting over from the NIV, which is the Nearly Inspired Version. Come on. And I'm shifting over to the New Living Translation. And so I'm reading it about half and half now. So we'll see what happens. During the 40 days after he suffered and died, he appeared to the apostles from time to time. So multiple times, right? He appeared from time to time. And he proved to them, we talked about it a moment ago, convincing proofs, that in many ways that he was actually alive. And he talked with them, look at this, about the basileia, the kingdom of God, the rulership, the domain. He talks to them about the kingdom of God. Before Jesus makes that ascension and leaves the earth, though, he wants to give them a few specific instructions, okay? He wants to give them some detail. Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, gives us an affirmation of his final words. We call it in Christian circles, we call it the Great Commission. Jesus came and told his disciples, the Bible says, "I have been given all authority in heaven and in earth." Notice that. Two realms. I've got the authority in heaven, and I've got the authority on earth. Verse 19, "Therefore, because I have this authority, you go and make disciples," those who will sit at his feet and learn, make students, pupils, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples. He says, listen, teach these new guys to obey all the commands that I have given you. And be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Luke reminds us of some very important details that Jesus shared with them. This is right before his ascension. He did tell them to go. He did tell them to make disciples. He did tell them to baptize and to teach all of the people to obey the principles of his kingdom. But before they were to engage in this commission, somebody say before. Before they were to engage in this commission, they were to be prepared. They were to be empowered. He already told them, "I have the authority." Have you ever been given authority for something? Sure you have. You've been given authority. The son says, "Hey, Pop, can I use your car?" And you pull out the keys and you say, "Yes. But let me tell you a few things, young man." You give details. You give principles. You give perspectives. Like I'm going to whoop your tail if you go acting up in my vehicle, okay? Y'all got that? That's Southern, but you better behave yourself. All right? He gives them details. He gives them details. And the Bible says this, Acts chapter 1, we're looking at verse 4 and 5. He says, "Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift that he promised, as I told you before. Verse number 5. John baptized. The word there is baptizo. It means to immerse completely under, to saturate, to completely wet. Okay? He said, John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptizo, immersed, saturated, filled. You'll be baptized with what? The Holy Spirit. So John is the baptizer. He baptizing in water. Jesus, the baptizer, he's baptizing in the Holy Ghost. You can't put that in the pool. Come on. All right? You can't put a heater on that. It's already hot. All right? Jesus is baptizing with the Holy Spirit. So Jesus had been with them for 40 days after his resurrection, and his instruction for the future is that they do something that we don't do very well. Wait. Wait. Wait for the gift. Wait for this important part of the commission. Wait for the promised Holy Spirit empowerment to do what Jesus instructed them to do. In other words, if you're going to go and if you're going to teach disciples, if you're going to make disciples, if you're going to release the principles of the kingdom, you're going to need some power beyond you, okay? It's going to be bigger than you. And so that next 10 days involves their faithfulness to go into the upper room in the city and wait. That command to wait results in what? The baptism in the Holy Spirit. Today, you got a magazine, a freebie when you came in. No, it's not Golf Digest, and it's not TV Guide, and it's not Woman's Day. You got a magazine today free, and if you didn't get one, just grab one on your way out. It's on Pentecost. It's on Pentecost. It's on the power of the Holy Spirit. So look over that, read over that, familiarize yourself. You know what? I came out of the SBC, the Southern Baptist Convention. You know that organization that's kicking women out of the ministry. Y'all know. You know what I'm talking about. The ones that said you can't be a woman and preach. Come on, Baptists. Y'all better than that. They're listening to you, Pastor. I know. That's why I'm talking about it. What's wrong with y'all? What's wrong with y'all kicking women out of the ministry? It was a woman who carried God in the flesh. Come on. But listen, I came up in the Baptist church, and I love the Baptist church. I learned in the Baptist church. The Baptist is going to teach you. As a royal ambassador, I will become a responsible follower of Christ, to have a Christ-like concern for all people, to work with others in sharing Christ, and to keep myself clean and healthy in mind and body. I went all the way through the royal ambassador program. I got every pin. Almost fell off the step there just a minute ago. Make sure you don't shoot that, okay? I got new shoes on today for the second Sunday in a row. Matter of fact, if you feel led to buy me shoes, this week's a good week because I didn't get a pair yet, all right? All right. Somebody say, man, got his Nikes on today. You know what that means? Happy victory. Nike, just do it. So in the Baptist church, I learned a lot of things. But you know what they taught me about the baptism of the Holy Spirit? They said, that's over with now. They said, that ended when the apostles died. Wrong answer, guys. Wrong answer. You can turn in your Bibles right now. Turn to the epistle of James. And the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. What is amen? So be it. That's the end, right? There's a period. Turn to Galatians. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Period. Amen. It's over with. Turn to any book in the New Testament except the book of Acts. It doesn't have an ending. You know why? Because the book of Acts is still going on today. It has not ended. It's going and it's going. It's got the spirit of a Duracell battery. Come on, somebody. It's going and going and going, and it has not ended. We are still living in the book of Acts. So it's important for us to know that, yes, the baptizo, the immersion, the saturation of the Holy Spirit is for you today. Well, I don't understand tongues. Neither do I. I have no idea. I don't get it. I'm confused by it sometimes. But guess what? They were too. In fact, let me say this. You know more. Somebody say, you know more. You know more about it than they did. You say, Pastor, how could you say that? Because you've read all the history. You've read all the history. You read the book of Acts. You read everything that happened about this baptism in the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to teach you, somebody say, pastors, a preach, teach. I'm going to teach you today something about the baptism in the Holy Spirit that perhaps some of you never heard before. All you think about is tongues. Stop seeking tongues. Well, I wish I could get it. You're too busy trying to get tongues. Why don't you sign up at Roanoke Chowan Community College and take a course in Spanish? Amen. If you want tongues, that might be a good thing for you, Zach. They laughing because they've been watching you, okay? It's not about tongues. It's not about tongues. Tongues is just an evidence among many other evidences of something happening to you in your life concerning the work of the Holy Spirit. I know a lot of Baptist people who speak in tongues. I do. I've met and prayed with Baptist preachers. I've met and prayed with Baptist preachers. Hey, man, you know what's happening to me? I just can't get enough. Man, God's just baptizing you in the Holy Ghost. Well, what am I? My folks gonna fire me if they find this out? Okay. I mean, listen. We call them moonlighters. Okay, moonlighters. They go out and, you know, get this power, but they don't want to. Be careful! Don't take that back to the church, man. They'd be out of a job. Okay. Do you know people have been fired because somebody heard the pastor spoke in tongues? Okay. Tongues. I know it's a hang-up. Guess what? It's been the biggest issue of contention in evangelical Christianity that I've ever known. It's tongues. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? You're going to leave here today with more clarity, more understanding, because I care about what you feel and I care about what you understand or don't understand. So you're going to leave here today with a better understanding. Okay? They had the same question. What does this mean? That's the way it happened. Acts chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. They stood there amazed and perplexed. What can this mean? They ask each other. But others in the crowd just ridiculed and said, they just drunk. Mad Dog 2020. Come on. They just drunk. I pull out of my own repertoire of experience, okay? That's just while I'm preaching. Sorry. Mad Dog 2020. Whatever. These people are drunk because they were acting a little bit foolish. They were acting a little bit crazed. So question, calm down, people, is not a problem. Well, I've been serving the Lord for 40 years, and I've never spoken in tongues. That's okay. You're still going to heaven, okay? Tongues is not a requirement for heaven, though there's some crazy preachers out there that preach that, and they're wrong. They're going to give an account for that foolishness, okay? So confusion is really not a problem. Lack of understanding is really not a problem. In fact, let me encourage you, as I said earlier, you know more about it than they did. Because you've read all the history of the church and how it unfolded from the very birth of the church, the expansion, development, evangelization from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. They, however, were responding as they were instructed. They were told by Jesus himself. Classic verse in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive, I've underscored it for you, power. Translated mighty power, translated dynamite in some cases, the boom boom. Come on, say, I got the boom boom, baby. I went to that prayer meeting, come out with the boom boom. Yeah. The dynamics of the Holy Spirit. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Well, see, at salvation, you received the Holy Spirit. He came and took residence in your life. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. But then there are times when the Holy Spirit comes upon you for powerful acts. Okay? Somebody said, man, he was really anointed Sunday morning. Can you believe that? Yeah, the Holy Ghost was on him, man. The power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Okay? And he says, and when that happens, you will be my witnesses. What is the translation of the word witness? Martyr. That means you might even die for preaching the gospel. You might even be like a Cassie Bernal when Columbine High School was under attack several years ago. Young teenage guys in black trench coats with guns, AK-47s. Cassie's under the desk in the library. She's hiding because she's heard the school has been broken into and there's people running around the campus here, and she gets under the table in the library, and the dude with the trench coat comes out there with the AK-47, points at her and says, "Do you believe in God?" And she comes out from under the table and stands up and says, "Yes, I believe in God." And he killed her. "You shall be my what?" "My witnesses." She was a witness. Now I pray that you will never find yourself in that situation. In fact, you're pretty free to preach the gospel here in America. But we've had missionaries on this platform that what you didn't know is when we introduced them on the platform, bingo, we shut the whole live stream down. Why? Because they're telling their story and the reason they're going where they're going. And we don't want the word to get out, okay? Just can't get out. I'm not going to name names or places, but we have missionaries right now under the guise of running coffee shops and real estate offices that are over there on the foreign field loving people in Jesus' name with an assignment to preach the gospel on their life, but they are disguised as a coffee shop owner. You know what? There's a certain part of about all of us that we're somewhat disguised. Amen? I'm disguised. I am. I'm an undercover agent of the Holy Ghost sent from heaven to earth, disguised as a white man. Okay? All right. I have no idea what I am. I'm just mixed up, man. I'm mixed all up. You say, "Why do you say that?" "Because stuff comes out of me that ain't white. I don't know what it is." I don't know what it is. I have no idea. I don't know what I am. I don't know who I am or where I came from, okay? So I just say, "Hey, I'm an undercover agent of the Holy Ghost sent from heaven to earth disguised as a white man," okay? Listen, God doesn't want you confused, okay? He doesn't. And so today, I speak clarity in Jesus' name. I speak understanding in Jesus' name. Some of you have avoided this baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, I'm okay with it until they get to the altar service, and I'm out of there, man. I see people do it all the time. Altar service starts, people exit the building. Gonna get out of here because somebody might do something crazy. Gonna get out of here because somebody might speak in tongues or fall out, okay? Maybe you need to fall out. Maybe you need to experience a fallout, okay? Because every time I've fallen out, when I got up, things were different. Come on now. Things were different. Okay? So listen, let God have his way. God's not going to, he's not going to upset your car, okay? He's really not. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And this, my friends, is the very key to the evangelization of the world. It still is today. That's why we embrace and believe and teach and proclaim the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for today. It is the power of the plan that Jesus had, the plan that Jesus set in order. In fact, if you speak against the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you're speaking against what Jesus was known for. He was the baptizer in the Holy Ghost. Don't speak against the baptism of the Holy Spirit because you really don't understand it. The word dunamis is seen about 10 times in the book of Acts. Two times it's displayed as the boldness that we have in Christ to be his witness. A boldness to be willing, if necessary, to lay down your life and to be a martyr. It is the power and the ability to share the message of Jesus to anyone and everyone. Okay? And the other eight times, I've searched it out. The other eight times in the book of Acts that you see the word dunamis, it is a display of miraculous signs and wonders performed as someone shared the gospel. God does crazy things, man. Heals people. Causes things that are not as though they were. Come on. And we need not take a posture that we don't want to experience this, or we just don't understand this, or, well, we heard it and ended up with the apostles' death, which is so far from the truth that it ended at the apostles' death. It has not ended. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is still alive today. God is still causing people to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You heard me preach just a few weeks ago on a Wednesday night. Those of you that were here, we need to be filled and filled and filled again. You know why? Because we leak. We leak. You don't always act in the Holy Spirit. In fact, some of us, we don't even act like we're saved sometime at work. You got to be careful. Folk are watching you. Oh, you go to carpenter shop? Well, I ain't going there. Because I work with a girl, man. She be talking all kinds of stuff. I don't know if I want to go to that church or not. Okay? They see you every day. So you're not always as filled with the Holy Spirit as you think you are. It's easy to be spiritual today. Today's Sunday. It's easy to speak in tongues today. Today's Sunday. But how do you speak at home? How do your kids see you speak, Dad? How do your kids see you speak, Mom? How do your kids see Mom speak to Dad and Dad speak to Mom? My mama cussed my daddy out. My daddy slapped my mama. That ain't full of the Holy Ghost. That's full of the devil. So you're not really as filled as you think you are sometimes. You need to lay all of those excuses down and determine in your heart that I want everything that God has for me. Okay? That's what, you know, I came along, man. I was in the Baptist church when I started dating Joy. And I used to sit on the hillside, on the bank across the street from that little Assemblies of God church, and I used to point my finger at that church. And they had glass doors in the back, little shotgun church, 6 or 7 pews on one side, 6 or 7 pews on the other. And I used to sit and watch and make fun of those people. Man, look at that. Look at folks rolling on the floor, dog. Come on. Look at them, man, falling all out, shaking. And I used to go sit there for entertainment. Then one time I went. Oh, boy. Oh, I went to the church because it was a condition that her mama had. Listen, if you'd have known me in those days, you wouldn't have let your daughter go out with me either. Okay? And her mother made it a condition. Yeah, you can date, you can go off on a date with him, but he's got to come to church. So I went to church. And no, I don't know how it happened, how in the world I ended up at the altar. But I ended up, man, I remember peeping up there, X. I remember looking up like, man, what's this guy doing, man? He is sweating bullets praying over me. Am I that bad? This guy's praying in another language, man. Everything was just crazy. And I was like, wow, these guys are nuts. But here's what happened when I left. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, all I could think about is what I felt when I was at that altar. All I could think about was, man, I've been doing church all my life. I ain't never felt that. In other words, they had something in their Christian experience that I had not experienced. And so I went and talked to somebody about it. He said, man, all I can tell you is you just need to change your prayers to, Lord, if this is real and you want me to have it, please let me have it. So I began to pray that, and I remember it, man. August the 17th, sitting in the back one night, evangelist Fran Harrison from Lakeland, Florida. She was preaching. And man, I got up from the back, and before my foot even hit the center of the aisle out of that pew, I was praying in another language that I never learned. Nobody laid hands on me. Nobody anointed me. Nobody oiled me up so I could be pulled through a keyhole. I was so greasy. None of that. I was just speaking in a language I never learned. And then every day I would start to, you know, by myself, I was just praying in this. Oh, man, this is powerful. This is so good. See, some of y'all, this is how you get prayed for. You see the baptism of the Holy Spirit. How many of you want the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Come on down. And you go up and you go. You got clamps on your lips, and you ain't open your mouth for nothing. Can I tell you something? You ain't never going to speak in another language if you don't open your mouth and speak. Well, some of y'all have been playing with it, okay? Some of y'all at home, you're like, praying in this thing. No, no, that's me. What idiot would do that, okay? What idiot would mess with another language out of your mouth by yourself? It's not you. He's trying his best to fill you, and you're making it hard. Come on, loosen up, somebody. Loosen up and let him fill you, all right? I remember my Aunt Eunice. She was an old Wesleyan lady. My Aunt Eunice called me one day. She said, Wallace, can you stop by my house? She lived in Windfall, outside of Hertford. I went over and I said, sure, Aunt Eunice, I'll be glad. And I went in there, and she's, when I got there, she said, come on in, come on in. Like a drug deal or something. Like, what's going on here? She said, come on in. She shut the door. She said, look, I got to ask you something. And she starts crying. She said, I get up every morning. Come here, let me show you my little prayer place. She took me into her bedroom. She had a little old gooseneck rocker. How many of y'all know what gooseneck rockers are? Come on. She had a little gooseneck rocking chair. She's sitting there. She said, I get here every morning and I read the Bible. She had a Bible, man, that looked wore out. I mean, just worn out. Big old King James, about 4 inches thick. That thing was worn out. She said, I get here every morning and I read the Bible. And she said, I'm sitting here a few days ago. And she said, I'm praying. And she said, don't never have had this happen before. But she says, as I was praying, she said, some strange things came into my head. And I spoke them out of my mouth. And she starts crying. She said, have I done something wrong? And I started laughing. She said, what are you laughing at? She said, I'm scared. I said, no. I said, well, what did you feel when you weren't scared? She said, no, it felt really good. But was that blasphemy? I said, no, that wasn't blasphemy, dear. I said, you received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. So some of y'all in your quiet times, you've heard things and I need to stop that. No, you don't need to stop that. You need to turn the juice up, man. Let God fill you. Let that completion come. Let him give you a prayer language that only he can understand, okay? You don't have to be worried about that. We've made it so complicated. Last week we highlighted a truth in a way that Jesus taught the disciples to pray. Because, you know, they asked Jesus, they said, hey, you know, can you teach us to pray the way John taught his disciples to pray? And he said, when you pray, say. Okay? We get the Lord's Prayer out of that. That wasn't the Lord's Prayer. That was the disciples' prayer. Okay? We call it the Lord's Prayer. Wasn't the Lord's Prayer. That was the disciples' prayer. They were the one asked for it. Jesus prayed these words and told them to pray as well. Matthew 6, 9 and 10. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom, look at this. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So in essence, what Jesus was telling them to pray is that earth would receive a divine example of what heaven was like. Okay? A divine example of what heaven is like. Heaven's like as far as the church, heaven's like you guys. Red and yellow, black and white, they're precious in his sight. Heaven's not about 100 white people gather together and get out of church at 12 o'clock on Sunday. That's not heaven. Heaven's not a bunch of black people who get out of church at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm just telling y'all. You go to a black service, man, you're going to be there for a while. And don't let Sister So-and-so, who's the mother of the church, die. You're going to be there all night long. Yeah, yeah. All night long. Okay. I told you I want white. Okay. That's because cultures are different. But you are a representation of what God wants. You are a representation. You're everything come together under one banner. Okay? Everything come together under one banner. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come to earth. So he wants earth to be a representation of what heaven is. It's one thing to be saved, to be born again, and have the Spirit of God take residence in you, but you want the Spirit of God to empower you, equip you, so that you can experience this baptism, this immersion of the Holy Spirit. You see the Holy Spirit in you. Catch this. Don't miss this. The Holy Spirit in you is for you, but the Holy Spirit upon you is for everyone else. All right? Y'all got that? The Holy Spirit in you is for you, but the Holy Spirit upon you, being baptized, immersed, saturated in the Holy Spirit, is so that you can minister to others. Okay? Y'all got that? It's the endowment of power, the enabling of the Holy Spirit. You shall be my what? Witnesses. You shall walk in a power that brings the kingdom of God to earth. The reason that we feed people, we've done it before. One year alone, 13 tractor trailer loads of food from this parking lot into the automobiles of people all over this county. 13 tractor trailer loads, 58,000 pounds times 13. Why do you feed people, Pastor? Because there's no hunger in heaven. You give food away because there's no hunger in heaven, and people aren't hungry in heaven. So as the church, we want to make sure people, what? Aren't hungry. Okay? The reason we pray for the sick is because there's no sickness in heaven. Your kingdom come and be upon the earth as it is, where? In heaven. The reason we deal with opposing spirits, demonic spirits, and cast them out, take authority over them, is because there's no demonic spirits in heaven. Okay? You're not just saved, and you don't just get saved, and, oh, we accepted Jesus Christ, and you just sit on your hind end until Jesus comes. No. You get empowered by the Holy Spirit, and you do the works of Jesus, and greater works, you will do greater works than he did, because he sent the Holy Spirit to you. Okay? You need the fullness of God's power. 120 waited on that in the upper room that day, and look what happens. Suddenly, 120 are in that room. Acts 2, 1-4, New Living Translation. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a what? Sound from heaven, like a roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit. And what did they do? They began to speak in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. This happened in the midst of their what? Their waiting. This happened in the midst of their fulfilling the command of Jesus. It's a suddenly. 50 days after Passover on Pentecost. Penta means 50. 50 days after Passover is when it happened. It's like a roaring of a mighty windstorm. God has often marked things in the Bible with a sound. Genesis 3:8. Check this out. Then the man and his wife, this is Adam and Eve here, they're in the garden. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. If you study that cool of the day, it really translates like this. He was walking through the garden in the wind of the day. Little cool breeze. In the original language in Hebrew, it's a word that is attached to wind. So it's a cool breeze blowing. He's walking through the garden, and they heard what? They heard the sound of God walking. Okay? You got to understand now, God's a spirit. Okay? But he's walking through the garden, and they hear him. The entrance of the Lord in the Bible is often marked with the sound. The Old Testament is marking the sound of the Lord in presence and provision. When the Lord fed the children of Israel in the Old Testament, there was a tremendous sound. Look at Numbers 11, 31 and 32. Now a wind, I've underscored this for you. Now a wind went out from the Lord. Where'd the wind come from? Came from the Lord. A wind went out from the Lord and drove quail in from the sea. These birds are out there on a field trip, just flying around the ocean, looking at how pretty it is, going to dip down for a worm now and then, a little fish, a little slivery thing or something. They're going to get something to eat. But the Bible says a wind. What did the wind do? The Bible says a wind grabbed those quail, okay? It scattered them up to 2 cubits deep all around the camp, as far as a day's walk in any direction. Wait. All these birds out there flying around on the sea, and the wind of God says, shoo, come here. Defied their wings and brought all these birds in and gathered them around God's people, because the Lord said, look, I promise I'd make lunch for you. It's ready. Okay? It's ready. Lunch is ready. And birds, no one gathered less than 10 homers. The Lord caused these birds to come down low enough. Any of y'all ever been snipe hunting? Okay. Any guys ever been snipe hunting? You know, people make jokes about that. The Lord caused these birds to come down low enough where I can see the kids right now. Get your sack, baby. Get your sack. Mama gonna tell you how to catch some quail. And they're taking their sacks and they're sweeping up the quail. And the Bible says that no one, somebody say no one, no one gathered less than 10 homers. How much is a homer? No one gathered less than 10 homers, which is equivalent to about 60 bushels of quail. What you gonna do with 60 bushels of quail? Well, every time you go to Walmart and get the checkout line, hey, baby, give me some beef jerky. They made jerky out of it. They can't preserve. Ain't got no freezer. They're not going to have a roast, and it's all over with that day. 60 bushels per family. And they're creating quail jerky. They had a process where they dried it out because God has made provision, and we're going to save it. Okay? Y'all got this? Somebody say, preach, teach, pastor. They've got the quail, and they're going to preserve the quail. And what you need to understand is when they hear in the upper room, when they hear, they hear this, hey, God's getting ready to do something, y'all. Don't you remember what he did for the children of Israel? It was an indication God is getting ready to do something. We're waiting for the gift, y'all. Here it is, y'all. They're waiting. And they hear the sound. They hear the sound. He's here. God's here. The promise is here. The provision of power is here. Then in Acts chapter 2, verse 3, it says, then what looked like, somebody say looked like, what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. Can I just tell you something? No literal fire. No literal fire. The Bible says what looked like flames. It's interesting that in the history of Pentecostal revivals in America, in our modern days, it was 1906. An African-American man by the name of William Seymour arrived in Los Angeles and was holding revival on Azusa Street. It became one of the most noted revivals in all of Pentecostal history. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the United States that has marked the beginning of even our movement, the Assemblies of God, the Church of God, the Pentecostal Holiness. All of your mainline Pentecostal denominations can be traced back to what God did in 1906. It was unique in the country. And as I mentioned, it was an African-American man. Why did you say that? Because you think we're divided now. In 1906, this nation was so divided. But people gathered from every nation, tongue, and language on Azusa Street. They were not divided. They were united because God used this man to bring revival. And revival took place in such a powerful way. And William Seymour called the prayer meetings over to Bonnie Bray Street, and they got so filled up in that house, there was no room for anybody else. People would park down the street, get out of their car, walk toward the house on Bonnie Street. They were out in the power of the Holy Ghost. They couldn't even get near the house. And historically, it tells us that the house on Bonnie Bray Street was so full of the Holy Ghost. And the revival that took place on Azusa Street was so powerful that even on one occasion, someone saw flames coming out over top of the mission where they were meeting, and they called the fire department. Woo, 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 woo. The fire department showed up, and there were no real flames. They stood there, and they said, you know what? That looks like fire. Put your hose up, man. That's not fire. If it was fire, this building would be gone. That's not fire. There's been documented evidence historically in evangelical Pentecostal Christianity where flames have been seen over prayer meetings and revivals historically in the past, in other countries as well. That's revival. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, what looked like flames. And notice what the Bible says. When it came down, it separated and then landed on the heads of each one. Noah, Reese, Mara, Logan, right on down the line. The flame of fire separates on each one of them. You remember the story in Chronicles? When Solomon finished praying, he'd done what? He dedicated the temple of God. The temple of God is where God lived, okay? He dedicated the temple of God. The Bible says Solomon finished praying. Fire flashed down from the heavens and burnt up the burnt offerings and the sacrifices, and the glorious presence of the Lord filled the temple. What happened? It filled the temple so much. Look at verse 2. The priest could not enter the temple of the Lord because the presence of the Lord filled it. Can't even get there, falling out. Okay? And this is what God was saying to Solomon when the fire of God came. He's built the temple. The fire of God comes and consumes the sacrifice. God was saying to Solomon, that is good, Solomon. I am pleased with my temple. Can I submit to you this morning that when the fire of Pentecost fell on the day of Pentecost, and the Bible says in the book of Acts, according to Luke, that the fire came down and separated and landed on each one of them, one right behind another, that God was saying, I am pleased with my temple. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Paul told the church at Corinth, he told the church at Corinth that, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Don't you realize that your body is now in the new covenant, the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you, was given to you by God. You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And God releases this power of Pentecost so that you and I can walk out of our houses on every day of our life and show the earth what the kingdom of God looks like. And in so many cases, beloved, I'm telling you, the church is missing it. She's out there on some crazy venture of trying to be all that in a bag of chips, and we're not seeing lives changed. We just gather until 12 and get out and go home, get something. Where y'all eating? We're worried about eating and filling our fat bodies, and we don't ever share the gospel. Okay? Talk to these guys on the front row about what their life is like Monday through Friday and Saturday and all day Sunday. About taking people out of darkness into the marvelous light of the gospel, discipling them, teaching them the principles of God's kingdom. Rippling effects. Being filled with the Holy Spirit, allowing God to use you to shape and mold. That's what we're called to do as a church. That's why we're having Vacation Bible School. All she asked you to do, could you do one night? I ain't helping no Vacation Bible School. Well, don't then. We don't need your attitude anyway. Okay? No help. I'll go and help one night. I noticed how she said, could you help one night or five, okay? You know what she really wants? Five nights, okay? Can you sacrifice and say, I will do this? Why? Because she also told you that the people that are coming here Monday through Friday night don't belong to this church, okay? They may not belong to any church. And it may be the gospel that they hear and receive Christ that week. We need to give of ourselves. Well, I'm busy. Who's not? Who's not busy? Get involved. Get connected. Sacrifice. Do something to help. The Bible says, Acts 2:4, everyone present was what? Filled. I love this. Everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. When they were filled, they experienced the power of God, the dynamics of God. And Jerusalem was filled with people because it was one of the high holy days. It was a celebration. It was the Feast of Pentecost, the Harvest Festival. And people from all over other nations had made the trek, the holy trek to Jerusalem to experience this celebration. And they realize, wait a minute, when they get there, wait a minute, there's a bunch of people. Aren't those guys that are in that upper room in there? They're proclaiming the works of God. They're all Galileans. Every one of them are the same native people. They're all the same. But I heard them speak in my language. Somebody over here says, me too. I heard my language over there. What's going on? I thought maybe some of our folks been there. No, no, no. These people are all Galileans. And they were speaking the wondrous works of God in other languages that were represented out there on the ground. It's amazing. They heard the wonders of God being spoken in their own native language. Acts 2, 5 to 18. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation. I just told you. Every nation. They were in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own language spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. How can this be? They explained. These people are all from Galilee. Every one of them in that room are from Galilee. And yet we hear speaking in our native language. Here we are, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, province of Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, the areas of Libya and Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. And we all hear these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things that God has done. They stood there amazed and said, man, what in the world does this mean? They ask each other. But others in the crowd ridiculed, saying, they're just drunk, that's all. Then Peter steps up forward with the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd, listen carefully, all of you fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem. Make no mistake. These people are not drunk, as some of you are assuming. It's 9 o'clock in the morning, too early for that. No, what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God said, I'll pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And in those days, I will pour out my spirit even on my servants, men and women, and they will prophesy. This is the amazing account we have of people being filled. I love that word, filled, filled. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. We mentioned it a couple of weeks ago. Plerao, plerao, P-L-E-R-O-O. It is a Greek word, plerao. It means to be full. It means to be liberally supplied. It means to be full to the brim, carried along. Remember that one. It means to carry into effect, to be carried along as a vessel when the wind hits the sail. Come on now. Plerao. I had a sailboat. I told you about that. I'm going to tell you one thing, man. When the right wind hits that thing, ain't no stopping us now. Come on. He's on the loose. Can't you tell I was born in the 70s? I lived in the 70s and 80s. Someone said, what's that song? Why does he always sing these songs? I never heard that. You weren't born at the right time. Okay. The wind hits the sail. They're filled. They're plerao. The wind hits the sail and drives them along. Can I just tell you something, friends? You struggle, man. Man, I wish I could share the gospel. I know my mom and my dad, they don't know Jesus, man. They've been in church all their life, but they don't know Jesus. There's no relationship with God. How come you can't share the gospel with them? Because you don't have the power to do it. If you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, then nothing's going to stop you from sharing the gospel. Nothing. You can say, Dad, I love you, man, but I got to talk to you about something. Got to share the gospel with you. Nothing will stop you, not even a threat on your life. So if you haven't shared the gospel with the people that you love the most, you're probably not as filled as you think you are. Well, I speak in tongues, so what? I know a lot of people who speak in tongues that I don't see fruit in their life. Not about speaking in tongues. Paul said, I speak in tongues more than you all. Okay? But where's the fruit? Where's the fruit of a redeemed life that loves people enough to share the truth of the gospel with them? Stop seeking tongues. I remember one time in a service in Hertford, a little Pentecostal church there, as you come out of Center Hill area and head into Hertford Pentecostal Church. I remember 50 people in the meeting. Message in tongues came, you know, everything stopped. Music stopped, everybody stopped. Message in tongues is just being heard above everything else. Nobody said a word. Everybody's thinking the same thing. Man, you're supposed to have a Interpretation, right? Pastor stood there, nobody's interpreting. This little frail guy stands up in the back. He was a visitor. He said, Brother Pastor, he said, my name is Glenn. And he said, I work for the government of France. And he said, I'm just here visiting family. But he said, French is really my, it's almost become my first language. He said, I speak more French than I ever speak English. And he said, with tears in his eyes, he said, I'll tell you, I don't understand all this. But he said, what that lady over there just said was some of the most beautiful French I've ever heard in my life. And if you'd like for me to, I'll be glad to tell the congregation what she said. So see, friends, there's nothing that's any more beautiful when it's authentic. And there's nothing that makes me any more frustrated when there's nothing but foolishness. We won't tolerate it in this church. We won't. Not going to be foolishness. We're going to do it the right way, okay? Tongues. Why tongues? I don't know. I don't get it. But I don't have to get it. But I know that it's real. I want to close today with a story from Jack Hayford. As we come to a close, it's a beautiful story. Jack Hayford died just a few weeks ago. The generals are leaving, man. The generals are leaving the earth. Charles Stanley, Jack Hayford, you know, they're just leaving the earth. So I close with one of Jack Hayford's stories, straight from his book. The title of the book is The Beautiful Spiritual Language. The Beauty of a Spiritual Language, the title of the book. He says it is unquestionably one of the most disarming and remarkable experiences in my life as a Christian. The day began like so many on my calendar. I'd gotten onto an airplane to go speak somewhere. And I had hardly been seated when a well-dressed man came and took his seat beside me. I greeted the man, and a casual conversation began. I detected a Southwest accent to his voice, and I had asked, "Are you from the South?" His response was not embarrassing, but a bit apologetic. I hastened to assure him that my observation of this was positive and that I actually enjoyed hearing all different kinds of flavors of Southern drawl. To which he responded, "You know, that's a funny thing. I've always felt awkward about my speech," he said. "I was raised in Oklahoma. My mother was a full-blooded Indian from the Kiowa tribe. When I started school, I was limited in my English speaking skills. I tried hard, but kids used to make fun of the way I spoke." Hayford went on to say, "That's when it happened. When I heard him say those words, another set of words were heard in my heart. Speak to him in tongues." The Lord had spoken to him. He said, "It happened so quickly, and the prompting was so unsettling with its implication, I simply let the thought register in my mind, but I took no response. My mind's now operating on two tracks. On the one, I was doing a conversation with this gentleman, we'll call him Bill. And on the other hand, I was trying to access this strange, nearly frightening prompting that I had received from the Holy Spirit. I knew the voice, and I understood what had been said. What I didn't understand was why he had given me such an assignment, and how in the world would I even accomplish this without looking like a complete and total idiot. The result was that I simply allowed our conversation to continue without any effort on my part as to steer it. He was a civil engineer. And as we talked, I discovered diverse projects in which he'd been involved in, and some of them had taken place in some really exotic locations. So essentially what Jack Hayford is saying here, guys, is that he continued to talk with him and tried to witness Christ to him, and even offered him, at one point he offered him a copy of the New Living Translation, New Testament. And the man said this, "Nah, I appreciate it. I don't think I'd even read that. As I told you, I'm not a believer." Hayford goes on and says, "I smiled as I expressed my understanding of his position. I then continued to talk and allowed the conversation just to be general, to avoid any awkwardness for either one of us. After a while, our breakfast was concluded. We put the trays away, and we resulted in picking up the books that we brought to read on the flight. And I had one problem, that voice. The Holy Spirit had given me a clear directive about an hour before, and I had been faithful to do what he had asked me so clearly, and I had not been faithful to do what he had asked me so clearly to do. Speak to him in tongues. So I'm thinking about this, and I said to the Lord, Lord, this is easy for you to say. Speak to him in tongues. But do you know that I'm 35,000 feet up in the air, and I'm trying to deal with what I will look like if I do this, and I immediately stand out as just another one of those religious kooks? I'm still dealing with the whole idea, and about 30 minutes later, I noticed Bill laid his book down and stopped reading. It was then that a little wisdom came to me, and I said to him, hey, Bill, I've been sitting here with the most curious thought. I wonder with your travels and your background, if I could just run something by you. Quite a long time ago, he said, Bill, I was taught some words in a language that I don't know. And I was just thinking about your familiarity with your mother's native Kiowa tongue and all the travels that you've done in the earth. I was just wondering if you would mind if I said some of those words to you, and maybe you would recognize some of them and try to give me an understanding of their meaning. There was a long pause, and he looked at me and said, sure, go ahead. So he said, my eyes focused on the plaid pattern in the back of that airline seat in front of me. And in a very gentle and conversational tone, I began to speak in my conversational prayer language. I'd hardly begun when it seemed like my prayer language took a turn and even turned a linguistic corner, and I heard myself speaking a tongue unlike I had never, ever heard in my prayers before. The total length of it was probably no longer than the paragraph you're reading right now. When I stopped and I looked at Bill, his response was immediate and very businesslike. That's a pre-Kiowan language tongue you're speaking, he said. While I don't know all the words, I do know enough of what you said to tell you the idea that was just expressed. I could hardly believe what Bill was saying, Hayford said. I was overwhelmed, yet totally reserved in my outward demeanor. What do they mean? I asked. He replied as he pointed his finger upward. He said, well, it was something about a light from above coming down. Hayford said, it was the Holy Spirit set up. And I recognized that I was actually really supposed to do this. In the remaining moments, Jack Hayford led Bill to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ as his Lord. It was a spiritual moment. This was a result of all that happens and all that can happen when you are filled with the Holy Ghost. You're filled. I like what Smith Wigglesworth said. Smith Wigglesworth said, it's not really about how much of the Holy Ghost you have. It's really more about how much of you the Holy Ghost has. Let's stand together, could we? I wonder, as we stand today, is there anyone here that would say, Pastor, first and foremost, I've heard your message today, but I really must tell you that more than tongues or more than being filled or more than any subject you might have mentioned, I really need to get some things straight in my heart. Is there anyone here that would raise your hand? I really need to get, God bless you, sir. Anyone else? Salvation, a renewed faith for you. Anyone else? It's not uncommon. I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but there's not been a single Sunday since January of 23 that we haven't experienced salvation in this house. Amen. So, sir, would you come? Just come. Step right down here. Someone's going to pray with you. Anyone else, you need to give your heart to Jesus. You need to renew your faith in Christ. Just come. Someone will pray with you. Joel, would you come and lead this man to Jesus? I wonder if you are here today and you'd say, Pastor, I must say I don't understand the fullness of the Holy Spirit. But I know that in my life it's sometimes frustrating for me because it seems like it's more of me and less of him. And I want it to be the other way around. I want it to be more of him and less of me. What I'm saying is, Pastor, I guess I really just need to be filled. Oftentimes, Pentecostals treat it like a trophy. Yeah, you got it. Spoke in tongues. And then all of a sudden, you lay it aside and you never pray in tongues again. I said my little shandala, did my little shenanigan, and I guess I got it, so I'm happy. The reality of it is every day, we need to be filled and refilled and refilled. This is a pattern in the book of Acts, filled and filled again. So I wonder if you would like to just join me as we stand around the altar together, and let's just allow the Holy Spirit to minister to us. Come on, just step out of your seat and just come and stand in his presence. Lift your hands and worship as the team leads us in song here. Just gather. Maybe you want to pray for some others that are standing next to you. Maybe you want to just lay your hands on your friends. And maybe you just want to say, Lord, just bathe me all over again. I want to be filled with your presence, God. And allow God just to baptize you. Baptize you in the Holy Ghost. Immerse you in his power. Immerse you. Just move in closely, would you? Several are coming. Move in closely. Move on in closely. Several are coming. Just fill me, Lord. Fill me afresh and anew. Fill me afresh and anew. Hallelujah. Praise God. Yeah, go ahead, begin to sing it. As she begins to sing, would you just begin to pray? And would you pray in a language that you've never learned? Would you just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you? Just commune with him. If he can tell Jack Hayford on an airplane, speak in tongues. You can easily say, hey, Lord, say any this morning. Pray in the Spirit. Just pray in the Spirit. Make room for him. Could I have some of you ministers, if you would, just move around, grab some oil, and just move around and pray for these who are fresh and filling of the Holy Spirit, fresh empowering.
Every burden there.
Pray in the Spirit. Pray in that heavenly language. Pray in that language that you've not learned. Pray in that utterance of the Spirit of God. Tongues. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. Fresh filling of the Holy Spirit, God. I make room for you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah.
To do whatever you want to be
done.
And I will make room for you.
That's quite a prayer. Do whatever you want to, Lord. I've been put into some challenging circumstances before. I can't say that I've ever been on an airplane. and the Lord tell me to turn to my neighbor and speak in tongues. Okay. I'm kind of glad, you know. But how many of you know that you can trust him? Amen. How many of you would say, Pastor, today I feel like I got a breakthrough in my prayer language? Maybe I haven't been praying in the Holy Spirit like I should. Got a breakthrough today. Come on, give the Lord praise. Got a breakthrough in my prayer language. Pray in the Spirit every day. Amen. Anybody say, hey, Pastor, for the first time I felt that prayer in the Holy Spirit like I've never experienced before. Anybody, first time? First time, anyone at all? Praise the Lord. God bless you. God bless you. He still feels. It's deeper than somebody just shouting tongues in your ear, okay? It's deeper than that. God doesn't need our help. He really doesn't. He just needs our willingness. He just needs our willingness. I remember when I first experienced a prayer language, I was like by myself, and I was uttering these little syllables, and I thought, no, I think I'm doing it on my own. Like I said, what person would do that? God was just wooing me to himself, and when the day that I fully received, it was so automatic. It was just pow, there you go. I love what Romans says. Romans says that we are able to express ourselves with utterings and groanings that cannot even be uttered sometimes. Anybody standing right here sometimes just stood before God and said, Can you know he knows what means? Sometimes it might mean this, but then another time it might mean that. God knows the Oh me, oh God, oh God. Just be willing to let your innermost being express yourself, okay? The sad thing is we have extremes in this. We have people that do nothing. And then we have some that say, yeah, if you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, go to room 100, and the phrases are on the wall. Have you ever heard such a crazy thing? It happens. Shulamatida, you know, who stole my Honda? You know what? Nobody stole your Honda, okay? No, that's stupid. Don't ever let anybody say, hey, let me help you. Let me teach you to pray in tongues. You don't follow. Call me and I'll slap them in the face for you, okay? We don't do that. Jesus is the baptizer, okay? I can imagine, Ken, for you sometime in a tractor cab praying in the Holy Ghost. Sometimes my best praying in the Spirit is riding down the road in my F-150. There's something about an F-150 that's anointed, y'all, I'm telling you. Come on down. I felt the Holy Ghost on that, you know. I think if Jesus was driving today, he'd probably go buy him a Ford. Come on. No. Listen, you just trust God. I love it. Several of you raised your hands. I got a breakthrough in my prayer language. Another one raised their hand today, first time for me, okay? Listen, allow God to help you with this. Pray in the Spirit all the time, every day. Just do it. Just pray in the Spirit. And keep your prayer language fresh, okay? And then don't put God in a box. Don't just pray the same thing all the time. Ask the Lord, Lord, give me a new utterance, okay? Give me a new language. Did you hear what Jack Hayford's testimony was? When I began to speak, all of a sudden my language, my prayer language, took a linguistic turn and went to another tongue, okay? So you say, God, enlarge my prayer language, okay? Enlarge my prayer language, and he'll do that. Could I have the Spiveys here just come? Pastor Joy, join me here. Pastor Anoli. Joel, where's Joel? There's Joel right there. Pastor Bernie, let's just stand right down here so that Pastor Bernie won't have to do cartwheels up on this platform. Amen. Hallelujah. Such a joy. To have with us, come on here, front and center. Have with us. Look at your crowd, man. Look at that. You know they follow the cloud by day and the fire by night, right? Come on in here, guys. You're in this. I commend you for standing with your leaders. Amen. Hallelujah. Ken, Rebecca, come on, man. Join us in here. Hallelujah. Miss Bonnie, come on, dear. Don't let me miss any of my ministers here. Prayer team people, you guys join us. Let's just come together. Hallelujah. 3 weeks. 3 weeks. 3 weeks that, here's the reality of it, 3 weeks that God in his sovereignty, God in his omniscience already knows the outcome of every day, every hour. He knows every obstacle. He knows every opposing spirit. I just bind that in the name of Jesus right now. I just bind every opposing spirit that would manifest in Kenya. Every opposing spirit that would manifest in Kenya, Lord, we take that thing captive right now. We cast it out, God. I just speak blessing and peace, and God, all the frustrations that have even come to the surface, even up till yesterday, God, that you would just cancel those assignments on the lives of Eric and Keisha Spivey. And God, that you would, like a gushing well, I hear the Lord say, like a gushing well, you would just raise up, God, a standard against those things, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Like a flood, the Spirit of God will come and just come against anything, God, that would try to hinder or harm. I speak health, peace, safety, provision, anointing, God, all that is needed for this journey, Lord. Thank you, God, for more than enough financially, more than enough in terms of provision, more than enough in terms of anointing, the God, that they would not be fatigued, but they would be freshly encouraged and refreshed every day, every hour, God. And Father, raise up other partners, God. Raise them up, Lord. Lord, we believe in a rippling effect, but God, we also believe in a rippling effect of provision, God, that more people will come alongside and say, what do I need to do? How can I be a part, God? In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for fresh words. Thank you, Lord, for fresh gifts of the Holy Spirit to manifest. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Any of you guys standing around, you have a word for them. Come on, we want to open that up. If you have a word for Keisha or Eric, the Holy Spirit is showing you something. It could be simple. Could be something very simple. Anybody at all? Don't want to miss anybody. Hallelujah. Yes, come on, Ken. See, God brought a guy from Elizabeth City today. He thought he was coming to hear me preach, and he's coming to...
Well, this is what I saw before, while we was up here praying, before y'all came up here. And I kept saying, Lord, place on my heart who I need to speak this over. And since he brought me up here, it must be for y'all, or for y'all to share it to somebody else. But Matthew 5:6, those who thirst and hunger for righteousness shall be filled. And then he showed me a guy going up to get that water because he was thirsty. He had a bowl in his hand, or a pitcher in his hand. But when he come up to him, the guy that he was getting the water from says, well, take your top off. You know, you got to take the top off before you get the water. I don't know what it means. So it may be for you to share it to someone else, but that's what I saw. And I'm not going to try to explain it, but that's what I saw.
Come on, turn to your neighbor and tell him, take that top off. Come on, y'all. Take that top off. Take that top off.
When Pastor was praying, he said the ripple effects. And I love your name of your ministry, because it does. It continues and continues and continues and continues. But when Pastor was speaking and praying ripple effects, I also just felt like waves. You know, you're making waves. You're making waves, but also God is sending in the waves. So the provision is coming in like waves, like waves. So when you feel like you're being taken out by currents or tidal waves or whatever, I don't know the language of ocean, but when you feel like that, just know that God has you in control. And sometimes he takes you to that deep spot. But he has you in his hands. So I'm believing those waves coming forth.
Amen. I'll take those waves. I'm glad that I've never been up in, and I've been in airplanes many times, but the Lord has never said to me, turn into your neighbor and just speak to him in tongues, in your prayer language. You ever had that happen, Pastor Lord? Maybe it will, okay? The beauty of spiritual language. Jack Hayford, you should read the book. I asked this gentleman right here to come up here. I told his wife to tell him. Did she tell you? Told him, be available for me. Because I heard the Lord say to me, listen, use Jeffrey on Sunday. And I was like, Lord, are you sure? You know, it's like being in an airplane and God says, speak. Because you're struggling, Jeffrey. you're struggling to feel like you're worthy, that you've made mistakes, okay, that you've blundered, you've just kind of got the cart before the horse, and the Lord wants to show you today, say today, that he can use Jeffrey, okay? He can use you. I want you to take this microphone and stand right in front of this couple, and I want you to pray over them, okay? And be mindful of what you pray. Don't pray a prayer like a Pharisee that just needs to be heard. I want you to hear what the Lord says deep in your heart. And you pray those words, if it's only two sentences or whatever. But I want you to pray over them today. They're getting ready to get on a plane tomorrow. 3 weeks in another country, okay? And so you pray as the Holy Spirit speaks to you.
Today, Father, I would like you to guide them on their travels, guide them on their way, let them know which direction they need to turn. Allow them to hear you each and every day in their journey, and allow them to express this to other people so other people can feel you. Allow them to work through you and allow other people to join them. And in Jesus' name, in your name, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So Jeffrey is praying for, you heard his prayer, he's praying for direction. And once that direction is realized, that they would be in a position where they would be able to speak, thus saith the Lord. Did you get that? Come on. Direction and divine connection with what they say to other people is so important on the foreign field. You know, you know. Sometimes I've been in other countries and just take a walk, and you'd be surprised what God will set you up for in a land that you know nothing about. And everything matters. When you get up in a foreign land, everywhere you go, everything matters. Everything that happens matters, because you're in a place where you're in total dependence of the Lord. So, Lord, I just thank you for Jeffrey today, and thank you, God, that. A sense of purpose and destiny is being realized in his own heart. Lord, there's value in this man. There's value in his life. There's value in his story. I hear the Lord say, in your story. I don't know all your story, but there's value in your story. Because Paul said, I comfort others with the comfort I myself have received from God. He spoke that to the Corinthians. You comfort others with the comfort you receive. You've been through it, tell somebody else, because they've been through it too. And Lord, I thank you for Jeffrey. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to use him, and that you're continuing, God, with every step he takes forward in accomplishing your plans and purpose. You're providing for him strength for the journey. Strength for the journey. In Jesus' strong name, amen. I love you, my friend. Well, praise God. So, so, so glad to be here today and to share this opportunity with you. Hallelujah. Let's make sure that we fellowship among ourselves before we leave today. Have an amazing Sunday, okay? God bless you. Be filled. Come on, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to God.